Rock Cabaco, Tim Jones along as well, and it is an empty Ed Smith Stadium. And Rock, we are observing things we've never seen before. They're cleaning the stadium as we speak.
With the leaf blower.
How about that?
I mean, there's some poor woman, though, that has the broom and the dugout. That's got to be the worst job.
Well, during the show tonight, we're going to hear from Seth Smith, Johnny Giavitella, and Chance Cisco. I had a chance to sit down with all of them this morning before the game today. And how about that game? It ends up a 6-6 tie because David Washington, who's trying to impress, and he did, he hits a monster home run off the batter's eye in center field. And then in the ninth inning, down by three, two outs, nobody on, Joey Rickard a solo home run, Craig Gentry is trying to make the team, gets a single. And then Ryan Mountcastle, all of 20 years old, hits a two-run home run. You had a chance to talk to Ryan after the game.
Yeah, normally I would sarcastically say, oh, there's nothing more exciting than a tie game in the exhibition schedule. This actually was exciting. You're down to their last, what, four outs, down by five runs? And, yeah, Mountcastle, you know, we weren't sure. We were scrambling. We asked PR. We're like, has he ever even played in a Grapefruit League game? It turns out he said he pinch ran once last year but didn't get on the field to play defense, didn't bat. They bring him over. He popped up to open the ninth inning, or the eighth inning, and then gets to bat again in the ninth and crushes one. And we're like, you know, and again, we're trying to watch from behind the bullpen because we went to interview Buck Showalter after the top of the ninth because he's racing out to go to Tampa for tonight's split squad. So we didn't even see the Rickard home run. We just heard the crowd. He came back. So you see somebody wearing number 85 with no name on the back hit the home run. We're like, okay, who is that? And thank goodness Scotty McGregor was in the bullpen. The only guy basically left, and he said, I think it's Mountcastle. And it was. And, you know, he said, hey, it was a cool moment. You know, he said, you're nervous at first, and you remind yourself, hey, it's just baseball. Do what I always do. And if there's one thing we know about Ryan Mountcastle, we're not sure if he's going to be a shortstop long term. He may have to move to the outfield. They're trying to improve his arm strength, if that's possible to do. But they know he's going to hit. So you've got to find a spot for him, and he really could hit today.
You know, to me, these are the storylines that are very interesting, in particular early on in spring training, watching these prospects who are getting a chance. We've seen Eric Salcedo impress, especially defensively. I'm sure he's going to play in Tampa tonight. He's actually played in every game the Orioles have played so far this year. You get to see Mountcastle. We got to see Sean Coyle hit a big home run yesterday in the game here at Ed Smith Stadium. And guys just trying to give a chance because once the WBC is over and we get to the last 10 days, the regulars are going to play. So this is the time for all of us to see these players, and it's really nice to get a look at them and see why the front office like these players to begin
with. You know, Buck calls it the just-in-case guys that you bring them from the minor league camp just in case you need them. You need the extra bodies. And certainly in the infield, which is, I guess, a big reason why Mountcastle was here, because Paul Janisch and Ryan Flaherty weren't available again today. We're told they will be available tomorrow to play in Bradenton against the Pirates. Jonathan Scope already left for the WBC, so Buck is like, I need infielders. He's bringing guys over, and some of these guys are getting a chance to impress. And Coyle is a guy that put up really good numbers in Double A in the Red Sox organization. He's being compared to Pedroia. He's listed at 5'8", Jim. If he's 5'8", well, I'm 7'2".
Well, I'm 5'8", and he's smaller than
I am. Yes, exactly. Yeah. But the last 2 years he's been hurt. Orioles signed him. He had a two-run double. And Clearwater against the Phillies, he had a three-run homer here. So, you know, that's a guy who's going to get a chance to get noticed, and Buck mentioned him. And once you're on Buck's radar, it's not a bad place to be. Jeffrey Hernandez, who I think was warming at one point today.
He did get in.
Yeah, he was in the minor league phase of the Rule 5. They got him from the Reds, and he's somebody that Buck's son, Nathan, had scouted and really liked. They end up signing him, and he's getting an opportunity. And now I'm starting to – I wouldn't have known who Jeffrey Hernandez was. It's J-E-F-R-I.
Right.
But these games, now I feel like I know everything I need to know about Jeffrey Hernandez, including how to spell his name.
All right, we're seven official games into the Grapefruit League season. Let's talk about the outfield alignment. Now, as we sit here today, it looks like Hyunsoo Kim is going to play left field, as we expect, and maybe even bat leadoff, as he did again today.
Right.
Adam Jones in center field and Seth Smith in right. Now, that's against right-handed starters, and there are more right-handed starters than left-handers, so that should be the outfield we'll see. Now, Buck Showalter indicated before the game, Joe and I were talking about this yesterday on the broadcast, about who the other two outfielders will be. Now, Mark Trumbo, he's on the team as the DH slash right fielder. There's every possibility he'll play right field against left-handed starters. But to me, and you and I talked about this all winter on the Hot Stove Show back at Dempsey's, it makes so much more sense to have those two right-handed hitting outfielders, which means that Joey Rickard, who's already been on the team last year, that's good news for him.
Right.
But I think it opens it up for Craig Gentry, who had a big game today. He had a base hit that kept that rally going in the ninth, and he robbed a home run off the bat of Tommy Field in the 10th, who was up for Minnesota. If that ball goes out, the Orioles lose. And that's what you want to see. If he's on this team for defense, you want to see that kind of defense.
Right, and that's another one of those moments where we're standing there saying, okay, who just hit that thinking it's going to be a home run, and then who just made that leaping catch? I mean, everything was like you're scrambling all day as soon as you leave that press box. But, yeah, Gentry, you know, again, a guy who was, you know, they look at him plus runner, plus defense, a, you know, plus arm, and then injuries, he had concussion symptoms, and it looked like it was ruining his career. And Scott Coolball works out with him, knows him well, and, you know, said, look, I would have recommended this guy a couple years ago, or last year even. I'm recommending him now. He's back. And sure enough, and again, you play that kind of defense, Buck will find a spot for you. And that's where, let's keep in mind, too, they're trying to evaluate the two Rule 5 picks.
Right.
And they always want to carry at least one of these guys, Santander, Tavares. I don't know if you can carry either one at this point. Tavares being a left-handed hitter, and they're still trying to get their arms around him. Is he going to be okay defensively? Right now he looks pretty raw out there in left field. Santander hasn't played in the field at all. He's not going to be clear maybe until the middle of March after having the shoulder surgery. He has been able to bat on both sides, which is more than we thought he was going to be able to do. We thought he'd be confined to the right side. But they can't evaluate him in the outfield yet. So that's going to be kind of a mad scramble to figure out, hey, is he okay? Because you've got to be able to defend, or you're not going to make this club. So that really does bode well for Gentry.
All right, let's hear from Seth Smith now, 34 years old. This will be his 11th Major League season, and he's been around. In fact, he's been traded four times, which tells you that somebody always wanted him. And this morning I sat down with Seth and asked him about how he found out he was traded to the O's, yet another trade, and about Dan Duquette certainly wanting him, which is why he made the acquisition.
Yeah, anytime you're traded, you know, you kind of wonder – you know, why you may have been traded, but then you're also excited that, you know, somebody's willing to trade for you. And those are emotions, especially early in your career. I guess this is my fourth trade that you deal with. The older you get, you realize what kind of player you are and where your value is and how teams view you, and that getting traded isn't necessarily a negative or really so much a positive as it is just a, you know, trying to fill needs for teams. And that's how you approach it, and that's how I approach it. And, you know, you just kind of, you don't change anything about your game. Although you try to get better at every aspect, you kind of realize you are what you are. And the team that traded for you traded for who you are, not what you may become or may be. And so that's my attitude is coming in here.
Well, the fact that you have been traded four times, what that tells me is teams valued what you could bring to that team.
Yeah, that's the way we like to look at it, and certainly, you know, there are things that you know that I can do, and whatever that may be. But that's what they wanted on this team, and that's what I'm going to try to give them.
And I would think switching teams, in particular, being traded to a contender, it has to be a little easier on you because you've been through it, and you're a veteran. It's not as if you have to come and prove yourself. They know you're a major league player.
Yeah, and that's a tough road, and it's a place where, you know, I feel like now, you know, with health and experience, you're able to kind of, you know, what you're capable of producing and capable of contributing to a team, and that's what you aim to do. You don't, you know, you don't try to back that down, and you don't try to add to it. It is what it is, and you go from there, all the while making sure you're honing your skills and trying to make yourself into the player you can be.
Now, you were brought in to be the everyday right fielder to add to this team, add a left-handed bat. The defensive part of the game is very important to this organization. Is that something you value as well, that you have as much pride in your defense as you do with your hitting?
Absolutely. I feel like everyone, or just about every major leaguer, takes pride in every aspect of the game. No one wants to not do things the right way or do things in a professional manner or in a way that's going to contribute to the club. And I'm no different. You know, I try to, you know, be the best I can at every position or whatever level that is, and constantly trying to get better at it. And defense is no different. Whatever whatever you may lack in one area of defense that you try to make up for in another, whether that's reads off the bat or positioning or making the right throw or making the right decisions. You know, there are different aspects to every position there are different aspects to every aspect of the game, and you just kind of have to learn them all.
Adam Jones is going to be leaving in a couple of days for the WBC. He covers a lot of ground at center field. Is that going to be a detriment to you in learning how to play next to a guy who goes after every ball he can get, or is it something that you'll be able to adjust to once he gets back?
Yeah, I mean, that's something something we have to work on. We've already had one ball where I was in right and he was in center, and, you know, it was kind of an in-betweener, and he made a fantastic catch on it, but, you know, it's about me learning his range, and I guess him learning, you know, the balls I can get to, and how we communicate, because there's a lot of inference and a lot of subtle communication that you kind of have to work through. It's not as easy as calling a ball as it may seem. So there is really, more than anything, those are kind of the things that we need to work through in spring training. Those are the ones that you can't really, like, I can go to the batting cage or I can take at bats and take care of myself that way, but you've got to be out there with other guys that you need to communicate with.
That's a dynamic, I think, that does get overlooked, because you're an athlete and you're trying to get to every ball. You react to balls in the air, and then all of a sudden you look up and number 10 is there. So I got to imagine that that's something you're really going to have to guard against, maybe doing too much because he's all over the place.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the big leagues, and there are a lot of really good center fielders out there. So I've played with some really good aggressive center fielders, so that won't be different for me, but learning how to communicate with a specific one is something that will take a little bit of time and having some innings together out there.
Another aspect of your game that is intriguing on this club is your on-base percentage. Have you always been a patient hitter, as you've shown down here?
You know, it comes and goes in season, and earlier in my career I was a more aggressive hitter, and then learned, you know, to kind of stay within myself, and in a lot of situations getting on first base with a walk is the same as getting a hit, and so maybe you don't have your ace swing, but and you're able to work a walk out of it, but really it's not something that I try to do. It's something that, you know, I'm trying to get a good pitch in the zone to hit, and I am working aggressive to the pitches I want to hit, and if they don't show up, then, you know, hopefully on a good day I'm able to take them and work a walk.
We have no idea how Buck is going to settle on an everyday lineup, and I'm sure lefties versus righties it'll change, but the one position that's been a little bit of a challenge is leadoff. Do you enjoy batting leadoff if he elects to go with you?
I'm willing to do it, and it's something I've done before, and it's really the first at bat. You're kind of scrambling. You got to make sure you're ready to hit from first pitch, and you're not able to ease into it like you are in different spots in the order. But it's after the first at bat, there's really no difference. You go up to the plate, and whatever situation presents itself, you attack it accordingly.
Now, I don't look at you as a home run hitter, but you have home run power. Are you really looking forward to playing half your games at Camden Yards, especially because you're a left-handed batter and you got that right field porch there?
You know, I've always enjoyed playing at Camden Yards, and anyone you talk to enjoys playing there as well. I've played, you know, at hitters' parks and pitchers' parks, and honestly, there's pros and cons of every place you play, and, you know, as a visiting player, you're not able to fill those out completely, but having it as my home park, I should be able to fill that out. And, you know, there'll be some things that I like about it, and there's some things that, you know, maybe aren't the best with regard to hitting, but I'm definitely excited about playing there.
All right, finally, as you look forward to the season, you're in the AL East now, and it's a brutally competitive division, but I got to believe, in some sense, as a pro, that's something that you're looking forward to.
Yeah, we love to compete, and that's kind of one of the separators and one of the things that we, at the same time, have in common. Everyone up here loves to compete and loves to kind of grind it out against good competition, whether it's a good pitcher on the mound or a good team that you're playing, or like you said, a good division. It is fun, and night in, night out, knowing that you've got to be on top of your game to compete in a powerful division.
So Seth Smith joining us this morning before the game. He took another 0-for in the game. He was 0-for-3, so he's 0-for-7, Rock, in his first three games. But I like the quiet confidence I heard in his answers.
Did you sit there the whole time thinking this guy looks like Seth MacFarlane from Family Guy?
Actually, I did.
That is what, because when I'm looking at him, like, he looks like somebody. He looks a lot
like him. What I should have talked about was that he was Eli Manning's backup and quarterback at Ole Miss.
And the poor guy was the prime suspect in the who threw the football that broke Michael Bourne's finger, and it wasn't Seth Smith, just for the record. But, you know, he's off to a little bit of a slow start. It's so early yet. I heard somebody today say, oh, man, is he going to be another Travis Snyder? I'm like, oh, come on. It's too early for that. He did walk twice in the second inter-squad game. He has a career, what, .344 on base percentage. This guy finds ways to get on base. He has a walk so far in Grapefruit League games. He just doesn't have a hit yet. And, again, it's really early. So at this point, I'm certainly nothing to worry about. And this is what those guys you go track record. He will be able to get on base. He does not hit left-handers, career .202 average. He's a prime candidate to be platoon. But against right-handers, you want that guy in the lineup wherever he's batting because you need an on-base guy. That's what they've been looking for years now.
All right, Rock and I are going to come back. We're at Ed Smith Stadium, an empty Ed Smith Stadium, except for those who are cleaning the stadium, as you may hear below us. The Orioles and Minnesota Twins today tied at 6 as the Birds got 2 in the 8th, 3 in the 9th to tie it. Neither team scored in the 10th. So it ended in a 6-6 tie. More of Hot Stove Baseball coming up on 105.7 The Fan.
MedStar Union Memorial Hospital is the first and only orthopedic program in the entire state of Maryland to offer Makoplasty robotic total knee replacement. It's a better fit, personalized just for you.
This morning, I used my new knee to go for a pain-free stroll. And if you'll excuse me, I'm about to use my new knee to bowl another strike.
To learn more about the advanced treatment options we offer, visit MedStarOrtho.org/MAKO.
Your chance to save money is in the mail. Soon, a free Royal Farms ROFO Rewards card is coming to your mailbox. When you get it, enroll in Royal Farms ROFO Rewards program and save 25 cents a gallon on gas for the first 30 days and up to 10 cents a gallon thereafter. Details in store. Plus, earn discounts and freebies on food, drinks, and more. With a ROFO Rewards card headed your way, there's never been a better reason to check your mail. Real fresh, real fast. Royal Farms.
Enjoy Birdland's best value in family entertainment when your children 14 and under join the Junior Orioles Dugout Club, the official kids club of the Orioles. Membership options include your choice of 2 6-game packages filled with exclusive benefits like game tickets, a club hat, socks, backpack, and more. And as always, friends and family can purchase additional tickets to Dugout Club games starting as low as $6. Create new Birdland memories with your family this season. Visit Orioles.com/dugoutclub or call 888-848-BIRD.
Feeding your family a delicious meal at home? That's smart. Feeding your family a delicious meal without spending a lot of time or money? That's wise. Right now at Wise Markets, it's Frozen Food Month, which means it's the perfect time to stock up on microwavable meals, frozen vegetables, and our famous homemade ice cream. So stop by a Wise Market and check out all the cool deals in the frozen aisle.
Eat better, spend less, that's wise.
Hey, Orioles fans, does the break between seasons have you daydreaming of warm summer nights at the ballpark? Do you miss checking the current score and standings during your afternoon break? Snapple has loaded the flavor bases for you. Snapple is a home run for your taste buds, made with tasty teas and delicious real fruit flavors, all mixed to perfection. Put some flavor in your break. Make time for Snapple. Proud juice and tea partner of the Baltimore Orioles.
I'm Tom, the unofficial official fan of the Baltimore Orioles. I haven't missed a game in 30 years. I even left my own wedding to catch the series in 83. Boy, did I have some explaining to do. Most importantly, I eat SK hot dogs whenever I can. They're the official hot dog of the Baltimore Orioles. So head to Oriole Park at Camden Yards or your own backyard and enjoy an SK dog. And take it from me, the unofficial official fan of the Baltimore Orioles. It's just not Orioles baseball without SK. SK, official sponsor of the Orioles and one of Baltimore's own since 1858.
Spring training is here and Papa John's has a great offer thanks to your Orioles. Introducing Orioles VIP. Right now, use code Orioles VIP at PapaJohns.com and get 50% off the regular menu price of pizzas online. Whatever pizza you want from PapaJohns.com, just use code Orioles VIP and get 50% off all pizzas. That's Orioles VIP. Together is one word, no space. Orioles VIP at PapaJohns.com. Valid now through March 5th at participating Baltimore area locations. O's Day at Chick-fil-A is coming up on Orioles opening day Monday, April 3rd. Wear your favorite Orioles branded shirt, hat, or jersey to any participating Baltimore area Chick-fil-A location on opening day April 3rd, and you'll get a free original chicken sandwich. Yes, a free original chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A on O's Day for being an Orioles fan. So stock up on your Orioles branded gear, and they'll see you at Baltimore area Chick-fil-A restaurants on Orioles opening day Monday, April 3rd for O's Day at Chick-fil-A. Available 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., one per customer per visit. 105.7 The Fan would like to thank Pizza Bowlies for being the official pizza sponsor of the 105.7 The Fan Up Close Studio. Listen to win your tickets for our next event.
Play ball!
Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan and the Baltimore Orioles present the Hot Stove Show. Now, live from Orioles Spring Training in Florida, here's Jim Hunter on the flagship station of the Baltimore Orioles, 105.7 The Fan.
And welcome back to an empty Ed Smith Stadium, where today the Minnesota Twins and the O's played to a 6-all tie. Birds came back with 2 in the 8th and 3 in the 9th. Neither team scored in the 10th. So in spring training, as they run out of pitching, they ended in a 6-6 tie. And don't forget, single-game tickets for the upcoming season are now on sale. Don't miss your chance to lock in the best seats to the top games of 2017, including divisional rivalries, fun weekend series, and a host of promotional events, including an Orioles Maryland flag replica jersey, a Manny Machado starting lineup figure, Zach Britton and Jonathan Scope bobbleheads, and a 25th anniversary of Oriole Park replica ballpark. Plan your Birdland summer now, Orioles.com or 888-848-BIRD. Jim Hunter with Rock Cabaco. And Rock, let's shift our focus to the infield. Now, the infield is as set as the outfield in terms of the starters. You'll have Manny at third, hopefully J.J. Hardy, who has yet to play at short, Jonathan Scope at second, Chris Davis at first. Now, in the infield, there's only one available spot, and that's the utility infielder, who we all assume will be Ryan Flaherty. He probably would have to play his way off the team. But there's some intriguing veterans in this camp that have a lot of experience that is really giving Buck Showalter a lot of depth to look at.
I won't lie, Jim. The gas from the leaf blowers, I'm getting a little loopy from it. So if you see me hit the floor, grab me. Flaherty would be the favorite right now, and I guess he's cleared to play again tomorrow. He and Paul Yanis, he had the sore shoulder. And I think being a left-handed bat helps him. And Buck really trusts him playing anywhere. Anywhere in the infield, he could play some outfield. I'm sure he could catch if you ask him. He could pitch. So Buck really does value him as utility guy. But, yeah, you look at the potential for the AAA infield, and you've got Chris Johnson, x-rays negative on his right thumb today after being hit in the hand. He can play third for you. Now Yanish, who I thought was out of the picture after they signed Robert Andino, suddenly he's back. He could be your shortstop. Johnny Giafatello could be your second baseman, and I guess Andino could kind of be a utility-type guy because he can play, you know, third, he can play short, he can play second, if that's what they choose to do. It's like a veteran major league infield, and then I don't know if Trey Mancini might be the first baseman. I don't know if there's a bench spot for him anymore. Times have changed since we were talking about this a couple months ago.
Well, and that's because of all this depth, and that's a good point. I wasn't even including Trey Mancini in the scenario because with Trumbo being a DH slash sometimes right fielder, to me that leaves – two outfield spots and the utility infielder spot, right, and that's it. So if that's the case, there is no spot for Trey Mancini.
Right. Now, of course, we're going to have to see when they break camp. I don't know if they're going with 12 pitchers. Buck's talked about we could go with 10 or 11 early on because they've got those three early off days. So what you see on April 3rd opening day is not going to be the same roster you're going to see a couple weeks from then. They may be able to carry, at least temporarily, some extra position players. But going forward from there, yeah, I don't know if there's a spot now for Trey, especially if they decide that they really want better defense in the outfield against left-handers, where a Gentry could be that guy in right field. Then Trumbo is more of the full-time DH. Mancini would have a tough time getting off the bench at that point. But, yeah, Buck has talked multiple times. This is the best depth they've had infield and outfield that he can remember, and he's crediting, you know, Dan Duquette works his magic. I mean, Paul Yanis wanted it, was waiting for a major league deal. Michael Bourne was waiting for a major league deal. All of a sudden you get him on a minor league deal. Now, of course, he broke the finger and may not play before the middle of April. But Dan waited him out. And there's still guys on the market, too, by the way. Angel Pagan is still on the market. Pedro Alvarez is still on the market. But Dan waited some guys out, and they have tremendous depth now, outfield and infield, and in the pitching staff. It's really improved.
See, in that scenario you just described, getting Mancini on the team and Craig Gentry being the defensive specialist, meaning that Mark Trumbo would play right field against every left-handed starter, in that scenario, that means Joey Rickard can't be on the team. So every time you try to find a spot for another player has to go to AAA.
And I think they value more at least now, and of course things can change, it's early, I think they would value more with a lefty on the mound, having Joey in left field, having Gentry in right field, because they're viewed as defensive upgrades over the alternatives, unless Kim ends up being an everyday player. We're still, you know, they're supposed to give him more at-bats against lefties to find this out. And meanwhile, and you mentioned this briefly earlier, we're always told don't read too much into spring training lineups, but Kim has been hitting leadoff,
yep,
and Adam Jones
right.
has been batting second. Because
yep.
if you don't bat Adam first, which Buck would rather not do, and you're not going to bat him second, I don't know where you put him most nights then, because you've got Manny and you've got Trumbo and you've got Davis. I don't think you're batting Adam Jones sixth. So the second spot might be where he hits.
All right, let's hear from one of those infield candidates, Johnny Giavitella. I sat down with him this morning before the O's and Twins game. Now, Giavitella is an established player. He's played six seasons in the major leagues with Kansas City and the Angels. And I asked Johnny what it was about the Orioles that attracted him and led him to signing with the Orioles.
You know, I've always heard that the Orioles do things first class, and when Dan Duquette called my agent, he had nothing but good things to say. He was really confident in the way that I played. He liked my style of play, and so it was kind of an easy fit as far as my personality and what the team was looking for.
When you come into camp and you see an established everyday lineup, what is your approach versus any other year in spring training?
You know, it's pretty much the same day in and day out, and that's just to get better a little bit each and every day. So when the season approaches and when the season starts, you're ready to go, that you've maximized your talents and your abilities and take advantage of the time that we have here to get better and to practice so that when the season does come, you're ready to go and succeed at the major league level.
One of the things they've done an excellent job here under Dan Duquette is the depth, and we don't know how it's going to play out over the next month, but it could be that the AAA infield could be a major league infield the way it's looking.
Yeah, I mean, all of us are going to prepare the way we would if we were starting the big leagues. No matter if we're in AAA or the major leagues, we'll be ready to go and help whatever team that we're with succeed and play the best of our ability.
Is it frustrating in some way when you look up and you see Machado's entrenched, Hardy's entrenched, Scope is entrenched, and you're a middle infielder trying to make an impact here?
These guys are established players. They're unbelievable to watch day in and day out, and it's just fun to be here and learn from them, see what makes them successful, and try to implement some of their game into your game.
Now, you're a second baseman. On this team, the utility infielder has to be able to play all three.
Yeah.
Have you dabbled on the left side at all?
Yeah, I've played some third base and especially left field in AAA with the Kansas City Royals, and I've played multiple games on the left side of the infield. So it's nothing new to me. I'm ready to help the team any way that I can, whether it's play third base, second base, left field, wherever it might be. I'm ready to go and help the team win.
In your talks with Bobby Dickerson about defense, have you suggested to him or maybe requested from him that you get some reps on the left side?
I'm always talking with Bobby, just trying to, you know, sell myself of what I'm capable of doing and letting them know, you know, where my value lies, and that's just playing all over the field and anywhere that I could play, and I'm willing to do it, and I'm always picking his brain, trying to get some advice and get some feedback of how I could be better.
And looking over your background, it seems you've always been able to do whatever was necessary to get noticed.
Right.
You were a middle linebacker, I saw, in high school, and a star middle linebacker at that. I don't think you're more than 5'8".
No, I'm 5'8", and yeah, I did play middle linebacker in high school. You know, in any position that I'm thrown in, I have confidence that I'll be able to succeed no matter what it is, no matter what task is in front of me. I'm going to give it my all.
This game is so hard to play because you have that mentality where whatever it takes. Does that help you prepare and does that help you succeed?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, we have a small window to play this game, so it's just in our best interest to lay it all out in the field while we have it, and so that when our career is over with, we don't have any regrets.
Now, you've been off to a real good start here in camp, and the one thing that's good for you is Buck is giving you the reps.
Yeah.
And he was saying yesterday, you know, with guys that are here trying to impress, early on especially, they have to do it, and I'm sure you're aware of that.
Yeah, this is my first spring training. I've had to compete in the majority of spring trainings that I've been in, try to win a job. And so every at-bat's important. You have to approach every at-bat like it's a pinch hit role in the ninth inning in a major league ball game. So, you can't be lax. You can't be unprepared for the at bat. You have to go up there, be ready to compete from pitch one.
In the past, has your batting eye come as quickly as it has this spring because you're swinging the bat so well? You don't want to leave it here, but when you're trying to impress, that's a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. And the majority of spring trainings, I usually get off to a slow start, and especially during the season, the first month or so, I'm kind of just treading water. But when it comes to making a team, you can't really have that approach. And so I'm trying to impress as early as I can and try to win make this ball club.
You're a veteran, so you certainly understand the roster crunch. 25 will go north. As you look around, do you feel like it's a competition with the other veterans who are in camp, or do you not even think about that and just worry about what you do?
Yeah, you can't really think about that. You have to go out there and just, like I said before, just try to get better each and every day. So when the season comes, you're prepared, whether it's in AAA or the big leagues, and help the ball club win any way that you can.
All right, I'm half Italian. I would eat Italian food every day of the week if they let me. And I'm intrigued by the fact that your family in suburban New Orleans has an Italian restaurant, Gio's. Now, I'm curious, in the off season, do you go in and put on the chef's hat and help out in the kitchen?
When I was in high school, I actually worked there. I was a waiter for a few weeks at a time just to make some side money. But I try to stay out of there as much as I can just because it's hard not to eat as much as you can and gain 5 pounds each time you go in there. But it's unbelievable. Food. It's a restaurant that my grandpa started before I was born, and now my aunt runs it. And it's definitely a place I enjoy in the off season.
That's got to be really special that it actually is a family run business, and whoever wants to come by and help, hey, come on in.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a very welcoming atmosphere. It's very family oriented, and it's just a fun place to go eat.
Now, if you have teammates visit in the off season, do you have to treat?
They're usually treating me because most of the time they have a bigger contract than I do, and I just take the time to go show them around, so that they're usually treating.
All right, finally, about joining the Orioles, this is the third organization you're in, so you have a little experience, but what is it like when you're the new guy and you walk in and there's a lot of established players on this team? Is it awkward at all at the beginning, or do you just go with the flow?
I think it was a little awkward at the beginning of my career, but I'm to the point now where I've proven that I'm an everyday big league ball player, that I've had success at the big league level, and you just got to have confidence and believe in what you could do, but also see what makes these guys successful and try to take some of their game and to your game.
Well, you're having a good camp so far. Keep it going. Best of luck.
I appreciate it, brother.
That's Johnny Giovitella, real nice guy, and I want to get to that restaurant. I understand the food is outstanding.
You could talk ziti with his family.
That's right. I could go down and make the baked
ziti
and then have it be the announcer stuff. But the one thing about when we talk about the infield battles here, and again, it's for one backup spot as we sit here today, knowing when it's a normal roster, 7 relievers, 5 starters, and the 13 position players. The one thing that works against a guy like Johnny, in his entire big league career, he's been at shortstop one game, and that was for a total of 1 inning.
Exactly.
And that's it. So on this team, the utility infielder has to back up J.J. Hardy. Obviously Manny could slide over, but you prefer not to do that. If J.J.'s healthy, he's just getting a day off, you'd like to leave Manny at third.
Right. And I know in the minors he's played, he's moved around a little bit more, but you're right. He's primarily a second baseman. And when the Angels, and he was our opening day second baseman, I believe, back-to-back seasons. But when the Angels designated him, I was doing some research on the articles, and Mike Socha said, it worked against him. He only plays second base, so there's nothing we could really do with him otherwise. He wasn't hitting, and we had to make us create a spot, and that lack of versatility hurt. Now, heaven forbid, if Jonathan Scope is injured, of course, this is the guy you want to be able to plug into that spot. But you're right, he doesn't have the edge as far as utility goes, but it's that depth. And I know back in minicamp, Buck was worrying about. And he said in his office, he's like, our middle infield depth, especially in the system, it was a concern. He goes, who right now is ready that could come up and help us? All of a sudden, Giovitella, and you've got Andino, and then now in Yanish, and plus, with Chris Johnson being more in the corners. But still, it's amazing how just like that, in a matter of, within a month, that they've now got a very deep unit. We're sitting there thinking, man, who were the infielders last year at Norfolk? I mean, Michael Almanzar was at third.
Right.
Of course, it was Yanish. Ozzy Martinez, a plus fielder. I believe he's moved on. But they've done a tremendous job in a very short amount of time. And again, kudos to Dan Duquette for bringing these guys in.
But with Paul Yanish, he has the opposite of Johnny Giovitella. Now, yes, he certainly can back up J.J. Hardy because he is a major league shortstop. In fact, in the big leagues, he's played 363 games at shortstop, most of that with Cincinnati as a younger player. but he has played very little at second base and third base. Although this morning, when we all talked to him, he was like, well, I'd like to play there, but yeah. I work for them. They have to give me the chance. I thought it was pretty interesting how he worded that. You know, do you go to Bobby Dickerson and say, hey, Bob, come on, hit me some ground balls?
Right.
Apparently it doesn't work that way.
And he does. He has played second, third enough that I'm sure he could do it. And he was with the Orioles. Remember when J.J. went down, we thought, well, he's going to be playing shortstop, and instead Manny moved over. So we know he can do it, but he is such a plus-plus defender at short, and that's where teams put him. I mean, there's not a drop-off when J.J. Hardy leaves and Paul Yonders goes and plays short. That's a supreme compliment. But, again, I thought they had moved on from him after they signed Andino, and so did Yonders. We were texting, and he's like, okay, if you hear anything, let me know. Like, he hadn't heard from the Orioles at all. Then all of a sudden, we're in Bradenton. That was it last weekend?
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, it was like, boom, Yonders. There were like five things that happened that day, and that was one of them. And we were stunned, but he was available still. Buck would have put him on the 40-man if he could have. Like, he likes him that much. But, again, Dan was able to get him on the minor league deal. Now the thing is him, and he is ready to play tomorrow, apparently, was getting in baseball shape. As he said this morning, there's only so many things you can do at home. It's not like he could, you know, jump on a plane, get here, take his physical, and start playing. He was working out, obviously, but he still needed to get in baseball shape, even just putting on, you know, the spikes and running around and working on certain things, going from first to third, second to home, along with BP and fielding ground balls. It was a process, and a couple days ago he told Buck, look, if you need me, I can do it. And Buck's like, Paul, I don't want you to get hurt. Like, let's just wait a couple more days. We'll see him tomorrow in Bradenton.
Well, he must have been on one of the backfields with Mike Bordick taking ground balls today because we didn't see him in the dugout.
Right.
So he's certainly working towards it. Jim and Rock were at Ed Smith Stadium, where they continue to clean the stadium following the Orioles and Minnesota Twins tying at 6-6. When we come back, we'll hear from Chance Cisco, the number one position player prospect in the Orioles system, on 105.7 The Fan.
I'm Doug Gottlieb with this CBS Sports Minute. Georgetown made a mistake of taking a friendship to the next level, and now they're left with the dreaded decision. John Thompson III played at Princeton for the great Pete Carril. He's the son of John Thompson Jr., who took the Hoyas to three Final Fours, and JT3 has taken them to another. But because they've essentially had a decade of disappointment with only three NCAA tournament wins, many are calling for JT3's job. Problem is, basketball practice facility just opened. It's got his dad's name on it. There's a statue of his dad out front. So what do? This is why you don't take a friendship to the next level, because it always gets weird afterwards. You don't just think about what happens if you become a couple. You know that if you don't become a couple, you're not even going to be friends afterwards. In other words, if John Thompson III is fired, you run the possibility of John Thompson Jr. never coming around. I'm Doug Gottlieb.
Sports fans, this is the world champion handicapper Jeff Allen from Las Vegas. Thursday night report against the spread. 28-1, that's 97% winners. Red hot. NBA confirms. Golden State Chicago is a lock. Free on the all-new recorded message line. Call 1-800-870-2283. Plus OKC Portland and four college best bet winners to go 6-0. 6-0 free, toll-free recorded message. 1-800-870-2283. There's no hype, there's no salesman, and no secretaries. Recorded message only. Chicago Golden State is a lock. Call 1-800-870-2283. $200 player can win $2,000 tonight. It starts right now. The new recorded message phone. 1-800-870-2283. Golden State, Chicago. Portland, OKC. Sweep the board. 6-0. 6-0 free or the season free. 1-800-870-2283.
O's Day at Chick-fil-A is coming up on Orioles opening day, Monday, April 3rd. Wear your favorite Orioles-branded shirt, hat, or jersey to any participating Baltimore-area Chick-fil-A location on opening day, April 3rd, and you'll get a free original chicken sandwich. Yes, a free original chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A on O's Day for being an Orioles fan. So stock up on your Orioles-branded gear, and they'll see you at Baltimore-area Chick-fil-A restaurants on Orioles opening day, Monday, April 3rd, for O's Day at Chick-fil-A. Available 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., one per customer per visit.
What's the difference between Bud Light and Miller Lite? Bud Light talks about what's on their can. Miller Lite focuses on what's in their can. A beer with more taste and less calories. So which one will you grab? Miller Lite. Special.
spelled different because it's brewed different. Great beer, great responsibility. 2016 Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Average analysis, 12 fluid ounces, 96 calories, 3.2 grams carbs, less than 1 gram protein, 0 grams fat. Per 12-ounce Bud Light has 110 calories. Taste testing performed by Institute for Perception, May 2015.
You know UMBC, right? They're that nationally renowned university just south of Baltimore. You can also get to UMBC from your living room by applying to the online Master's in Information Systems program. Ranked in the top 20 by U.S. News, the degree is 100% online and fully accredited. It also provides an evolving curriculum for job growth areas such as health IT, cybersecurity, and big data analytics. Applying is hassle-free and GRE scores aren't required. Visit online ms.umbc.edu to apply.
MedStar Union Memorial Hospital is the first and only orthopedic program in the entire state of Maryland to offer Makoplasty robotic total knee replacement. It's a better fit, personalized just for you.
This morning, I used my new knee to go for a pain-free stroll. And if you'll excuse me, I'm about to use my new knee to bowl another strike.
To learn more about the advanced treatment options we offer, visit MedStarOrtho.org/MAKO.
It's that moment. That moment when you're playing a multiplier scratch-off from the Maryland Lottery and realize you're a winner. This magic moment. And then you find that your winnings have been magically multiplied by 5, 10, 20, 50, even 100 times for up to $1 million. And suddenly a little win turns out to be a whole lot more.
Oh, wait, I won how much?
Woo-hoo-hoo, yeah!
This magic moment.
Play all 5 multiplier scratch-offs today and have yourself a moment, a magic moment. Please play responsibly.
The love of the game. It flows through our veins and fills our lungs. It brings us to our feet and sometimes our knees. But behind every thrilling point, there is strength and security. The card CareFirst Blue Cross Blue Shield members have counted on for more than 75 years, opening doors in all 50 states. CareFirst Blue Cross Blue Shield. Live fearless. Proud sponsor of the Baltimore Orioles.
Alvin Katz, specializing in earth-moving equipment since 1927, wants to help you hibernate your wallet. That's right, no pay till May and 0% financing for 48 months on select earth-moving equipment. Skid steer loaders as low as $425 per month. Mini excavators as low as $415 per month. Compact track loaders as low as $551 per month and more. To take advantage of these great offers and learn how to hibernate your wallet with no pay till May, visit digwithkat.com or call 800-492-6900. For today.
Escape the cold of winter when you book your official Orioles spring training travel package now at Orioles.com/spring. Enjoy everything Sarasota has to offer while you watch your birds get ready for the 2017 season. Official packages include your choice of accommodations, rental car, game tickets, invitation-only VIP events, team gear, and more. Space is limited, so don't delay. For complete official Orioles spring training travel package information, visit Orioles.com/spring.
Play ball!
This is the Hot Stove Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM.
Now, live from Orioles Spring Training in Florida, here's Jim Hunter on the flagship station of the Baltimore Orioles, 105.7 The Fan.
Well, Chad, Cisco is enjoying spring training with the Orioles, and, you know, you have that label that follows you everywhere. You're the Orioles' number one prospect. How do you handle that?
Try not to pay attention to it. I'd say the end goal is not being a number one prospect. The end goal is being on a big league team and helping the big league club win. So I try not to pay too much attention to it. Just play the game like I always have before and not change anything.
Your defense has been the focal point, and your defense has improved year after year since you signed. What are you doing in this camp in particular with John Russell, who's very good at teaching fundamentals, to try to get those final few nuggets to become an efficient big league catcher?
Just polish everything up. I don't want to say final tweaks because it's not really anything's not like a final product. But, yeah, make some tweaks and polish everything up. Work on the throwing a lot and just try to be a little more consistent with everything.
There are so many facets to catching, the receiving part, the framing part, blocking balls, keeping balls in front, and calling the game. Now, which of those has been the biggest challenge as you've come along?
Biggest challenge would be throwing the bases. I was an infielder in high school, so the throwing's a little different. I mean, the footwork's different, and so I mean, receiving, I've gotten a lot better at. Blocking, I've gotten a lot better at. I've learned a lot from the coaches and other players on how to call a game, pitchers, everyone. So biggest thing right now for me to keep working on is throwing.
Now, you as a catcher, and I've heard Rick Dempsey say this quite often, that even though you're in control of the game, you're a caster. So as you've learned and as you've gained experience, how has the blend been between what you feel has to happen there and what you know the pitcher likes to throw? Or if he keeps shaking you off, you know, what's that dynamic like?
I mean, I just got to have confidence in what I'm calling, and then try to relay my confidence to the pitcher so that they have confidence in me. And when they're just going along with the game plan and executing pitches, it makes the game pace a lot faster. It makes everything a little more smooth. So just having confidence in each other. I mean, being able, that's why they say the pitcher and catcher relationship is such a big deal, because we have to work together. And if we're working together and we're on the same page, it makes everything a lot easier.
You have two veteran catchers here, Wellington Castillo and Caleb Joseph, who really has become a very good, solid defensive catcher. As you observe them, what do you look for?
Just everything. I mean, from their setup to the way they receive pitches, the way they throw the ball, and even to the way they interact with the pitchers and whatnot. So, I mean, there's things that you see, and if I like the way it looks and what they do, then maybe I try it out, and if it feels comfortable for myself and I feel confident in it, then I go with it and I try it out.
It had to be a challenge for you, and you mentioned you were an infielder in high school when the Orioles drafted you. What was that conversation like? Did the scout who followed you suggest to you, you know, we're going to draft you, but you're not an infielder, we're going to make you a catcher?
No, it was actually me and my dad. We kind of, when I was a senior in high school, our catcher had gone to college my junior year. So then we decided my senior year that we would talk to the coach and see what he thought about me possibly being a catcher. And we all loved the idea, so I went from there. And then, I mean, because I was committed to college as an infielder. So then I started catching, and then scouts saw that I was catching now, and they loved the idea, so I played scout ball as a catcher too, so got a little experience there. And I mean, everyone loved the idea, and so kind of took off from there.
So your dad knew way back when that left-handed hitting catchers, they're at a premium in the big leagues, and he had the foresight to say, hey, go put that gear on.
Yeah, I'd go from there. I mean, he definitely knew that a left-handed hitting catcher is something that there's not many of, so when he threw the idea out there, we kind of ran with it.
Now, one thing that you're already very efficient at is with the bat. You've won a batting title at Delmarva. You've hit everywhere you've been. And usually you're the youngest player in the league you're playing in. How is that adjustment as you've moved along, where you look up and there's guys maybe 5-6 years older than you?
Yeah, I mean, it's always an adjustment, being the younger guy in the clubhouse and even on the field. On the field-wise, I've kind of been used to that. I played with older guys when I was younger. I competed with my brother. He's 7 years older than me, so I played with him and his friends. I mean, we weren't on the same team, but I mean, out in the street and everything, so competing there. And then getting into pro ball, being in the clubhouse around older guys, just something you just kind of get used to. I mean, you gain relationships with everyone, and then the relationships take off from there.
One of the things I'm told about your game at the plate is that you're not a stubborn hitter. You'll use the whole fields, gap to gap. If you have to go the opposite way, so be it. Is that something that has always been your style, or did you realize as you turn pro that those guys are going to try to figure out how to get you out and being less predictable is the way to go?
I've kind of hit the same my whole life. I've used the whole field my whole life, so I mean, I'm not stubborn in that sense, but I am stubborn in my approach. I don't vary away from my approach. I just stay up the middle and react. That's pretty much it.
Now, it looks like you'll be the starting catcher in AAA, just a phone call away, and you're going to have some veteran guys there on the pitching staff. Is that part of the development, where another step, and here you go, you have guys that have pitched in the big leagues that'll be down there, and that in some way actually helps you?
Absolutely. I mean, being around veteran guys, older pitchers, it helps me a ton. It helped me when I got called up to Double A in 2015, having an older staff that year that we won the Eastern League Championship definitely helped me. That was a big key in my game calling abilities. That year helped me a lot. And then being around guys in camp, being around guys last year when I was down here in Florida in September, getting to know them, I mean, and then being in Norfolk for, five games or whatever. But, I mean, still, that helps me tremendously.
Yeah, and I got to believe also that, I mean, here you are. You've been here from the beginning in the Major League camp. Obviously, you're a very big part of this future of this franchise. But just blending with this veteran team in that clubhouse day in and day out in spring training, that has to be a really big step for you.
Yeah, I mean, just being around the guys, you got to get comfortable with everyone. And then once you're comfortable, I mean, that helps you on the field. Absolutely.
Well, that was Chance Cisco. I spoke with him earlier today. And, Rock, what's exciting about him is his bat. Let's not forget he was 19 years old in 2014, batted 340 at Delmarva, won the South Atlantic League batting title. Last year in Double-A, batted 320. He had 131 hits in 112 games. Now, I know everybody right now is pointing to the defense, and especially with Buck, you have to play defense. Last year, he caught 33 potential base stealers, 100 stolen bases allowed at Bowie, but we have no way of knowing how much the pitchers were responsible for that versus just Chance Cisco.
Right, and there's other work for him to do, obviously, behind the plate beyond just throwing out runners, but Buck pointed out multiple times, and most recently, it was just a few days ago, he said, I think it was in Clearwater, where he said, you know, he's catching much better than we were anticipating. Like, he's looking good behind the plate. He said he's very quiet back there, which is a compliment. That's a good thing. And, you know, he's been working hard at it. And I think he's getting to the point now, and again, it's early, where while he's still not going to break camp as the backup, it's not out of the realm of possibility that we could see him at some point this summer. I think there was an assumption, well, give him a full year in AAA. Caleb, most likely, backs up Castillo. Castillo's got, you know, the player option for 2018. Maybe he walks, but either way, it should be Cisco's job in 2018. But there's always a possibility that he could come up later this summer if he's hitting and if he's continuing to play the way he is. The fact that he's getting noticed for his defense all of a sudden is crucial. And I brought up a theory to him talking in his locker today. I said, there are people that say in the organization, it might be easier for you to catch at the big league level because the pitchers have much better command and you know where the ball is going to go, as opposed to catching, let's say, lower levels of the minors where some guy could be all over the place and you're trying to frame pitches or bring it back to the strike zone or trying to keep the ball in front of you and they're bouncing in front of you. And he agreed, because I'm not going to say their guys can't pitch to lower levels, but when you get to this point, for the most part, guys are pretty much at least around the plate and you have an idea where the pitch is going to be. So he may actually look better behind the plate here than he would, let's say, in Delmarva or Frederick.
Well, and if you look at the Orioles staff, except for Ubaldo, the pitchers do hold runners very well. So that, and again, that helps the catcher out. That's why Caleb is so successful. Matt Wieters had a real good year catching base runners last year, in part because the pitchers help out. Now, it's still about the throw. And remember before the game today when Buck Showalter said he noticed Chance Cisco throwing the ball down to second base to begin an inning after the pitcher warmed up?
Right.
He said if he could bottle that throw, it's amazing how Buck catches everything. But Cisco understands that, and I realize it's hard to duplicate, but the repetitions that he was getting early on before the game started with John Russell certainly have paid off.
Yeah, and it is a big advantage to have John Russell working with him. Buck's pointed out many times he's one of the best catching instructors in baseball, and Donnie Warner, who's a kind of roving catching instructor who also can help him out. Anar Diaz, a former major league catcher, is here in camp. So there are guys who can work with him. And, you know, again, it's going to be about his defense. That's what's going to get him in the bigs. That's what's going to enable him to stay there. They're going to still stress defense with him, but they really like the bat. They know he's going to hit, and very young. I mean, this guy, what are we talking, 22 when he's going to be AAA?
Yep.
That's extremely young.
And it's his fifth pro season.
Right.
At 22.
See, Frank, he's playing a Double-A at 21. Who else is doing that? So, you know, the fact that he's positioned himself to be the top position prospect says an awful lot about him. But his defense really is better than advertised. We're seeing that here.
All right, quick impressions on Darren O'Day, who got into his first game last year, twice on the disabled list.
Right.
He had a long time on the DL, but he came in today, and he faced four batters, did not allow a run.
Right, struck out two, and you know, Buck's quietly encouraged, but then he's afraid to jinx it. You know how superstitious he gets. Like, I don't want to say too much, but he goes, just by the feedback that Darren is giving him, he's extremely encouraged. Darren feels very good, and that is key to keep him healthy. That's a great bullpen anyway. And if you have Darren on top of his game again, with Brock, with Gibbons, and with Donnie Hart, and, of course, Zach closing. As somebody was saying today, it's like, I don't care what the projections are, Pakota, whatever. If you have that bullpen and those guys all healthy and productive, how can you not win at least 84, 85 games, whatever, just from that bullpen and the amount of runs they're going to score?
Well, and we feel there are two jobs open in the bullpen. Vidal Nuno may get one of them because
right.
he's a left-hander.
I'd say he's a favorite. Now.
Yeah, and there are four right-handed starters, but you got Logan Verrett trying to get a job out there. Tyler Wilson, who's pitching right now in Tampa. So, again, there are options, and there are players to pick from. So these games down here, even though, as Buck pointed out, there are so many, it's only March the 2nd. They still have a long way to go. But these innings are precious for the individuals.
Yeah. And Oliver Drake's out of options. They're going to have to figure out what they're going to do with him. And the depth has improved to the point where, like, we didn't even mention a Mike Wright because they really want him to be a starter. So I don't know if he's necessarily a bullpen candidate, though he may end up transitioning to that role. But right now you say, if he's not going to make this rotation, let him start every 5 days in AAA. And Jason Aquino has come out of nowhere, a lefty who's only 24 or something. I thought he was older than that. Looks like he's been the highlight for me at camp so far. This is a guy who was a bubble 40-man guy coming into camp, and all of a sudden, again, they're looking at him as a starter more than as a bullpen guy, so maybe he's not in the competition. But Buck's like, he's going to start somewhere this year, and he could be a guy that could help them at some point this season. He made three relief appearances last year for them. Otherwise, he was in AA, AAA. He's been extremely impressive here. And who was talking about Jason Aquino when we showed up here in February? And all of a sudden, he's like the talk of camp right now.
All right, that'll do it for us from Ed Smith Stadium. For Tim Jones and Rock Kabatko, Jim Hunter saying so long. We're back at it on Saturday from Port Charlotte. Joe and I will join you at 1 o'clock as the Orioles take on the Tampa Bay Rays. We're also back on Sunday as well. So we got Saturday and Sunday, Orioles from spring training on 105.7 The Fan.